نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly, the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the fire. Tonight we won't be able to cover the topic of the indecent women or the lewd women, and we hope inshallah ta'ala by next Thursday we would be prepared for that day and that talk, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. So today we'll take a topic that we wanted to present some time ago, and I guess it slipped on my mind, but now we can take advantage of it, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. I just want to remind some of the brothers before we begin this topic, if I ever say that I need time to prepare, that 1 minute or 2 minutes that usually turns out to be a half, an hour or more, I need that time to prepare. And today I got a little delayed as other days during this week, which wasn't really necessary. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. This book is called Hukm al-Din fi al-Lahyati wa al-Tadkhin bi Qalam Ali Hassan Ali Abdul Hamid. The Verdict of the Deen Pertaining to the Beard and Smoking by Ali Hassan Ali Abdul Hamid. We're going to skip the part on the beard, inshallah ta'ala, and get to the second part that we wanted to cover, smoking, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. Before we begin this topic of smoking, I had thought and hoped that it would never be a topic that we would have to discuss, because the Muslims wouldn't be doing such a thing. But unfortunately, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah, many Muslims are still smoking and won't stop. Wallahu musta'an. As many of the brothers have come to me and spoke about the brothers in the ranks who have been smoking, and maybe the chewing gum wasn't working or whatever, and they've been coming to the masjid with smoke either in their clothing or on their breath. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. At any rate, the Shaykh, he deals with this topic, and we hope that after the verdict on this smoking, inshallah, that we won't have a problem in our masjid anymore with that. The Shaykh, he says, tobacco, chapter number 3, tobacco, or smoking. It's well known from the sensible, reasonable, intelligent people And they all agree unanimously that it is an obligation to seek that which is beneficial and to leave off that which is harmful. And through the ages, ever since life began, this was understood by the people of reasoning and understanding. Although the perception of the people in regards to what will benefit or what will harm differs from person to person. And this goes back to the differencing or the varying of the people's understanding between weak and strong depending on the individual, or the soundness or the deficiency in someone's understanding. And how often is something beneficial, and how often is something beneficial that a people might see it to be harmful, so they leave it because of what they assume is harmful in it. And how often is something harmful and the people are hurrying to do it? And how often is something harmful and the people are hurrying to do it because they believe that it is beneficial, so they get involved in it and they do it. And on top of that, there are many things that the people do not know about, or that there are affairs that are ambiguous, or that the people just have no idea of whether it is beneficial so that the people should indulge in it, or it's harmful so that the people might stay away from it and leave it alone. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bears witness to this reality, as he says alayhi salatu wassalam, al-halalu bayyinun wal-haramu bayyinun wa baynahuma umurun mushtabihatun la ya'lamuha kathirun minan nas. And this is from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the halal is clear and the haram is clear, and between the two are affairs that are not clear, that not many of the people know about. And indeed, the halal is beneficial and the haram is harmful. And from amongst the halal and haram are affairs that are well known that they benefit, like the benefit of honey. And also there are harmful things that are well known, like the harm of poison. And also like the benefit of charity and the performing of good deeds, or the harm of insulting people and being sinful. But there are still many, many affairs that the people do not know its benefit or its harm, except the people of experience and knowledge and the people with the correct understanding from amongst the intelligent human beings and from amongst the wise people. And from amongst those affairs is tobacco. As the issue of tobacco has been hidden from many people, or either ambiguous with many of the people. And because of that, I saw, and this is the statement of Ali Hassan, Hafizahullah, I saw that I might narrate some of the statements of the people of knowledge on the different sides of this issue, so that the affair might be made clear and the truth might be known, and anything ambiguous will be uncovered and removed, inshaAllah ta'ala. The beginning of tobacco, or the beginning of the presence of tobacco. Tobacco had become known in the year 1492 about 500 years ago. And this is when some of the Spanish sailors, they saw the tobacco plant when they came to the Americas. And then tobacco became widespread with a dreadful, terrible spreading in Europe at the end of the 16th century. And it remained that way until James I, the king of Britain, made a raid or an invasion or attack against cigarettes or cigarette smoking. And he made a proclamation in 1604 on the Kafir calendar against cigarette smoking. And in Russia, they also had a resolution or decision in the year 1634, of which the content said that whoever buys or sells or smokes tobacco
we will split his nose and beat him. And whoever returns to smoking after that, then we'll kick him out to Siberia, or he'll just be simply missing. And during the 17th century, in Denmark and Sweden and Sicily and Austria and Hungary, they passed a law in their countries that cigarette smoking was forbidden. And the first time that this tobacco was introduced to the Muslim lands or the Islamic countries was in the 10th century Hijra, about 400 years ago or so. And the first people who brought this to the Muslim lands was the Christians. From some of the results of the tobacco, the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he says, tobacco, tobacco is a poisonous substance. And not only that, as some of the people believe, that it only, let me back up. Tobacco is a poisonous substance. And it's not the way most of the people think, that it only has nicotine. Rather, it has other things in it that are more serious and harmful and detrimental than nicotine. And from those are this gas that carbon monoxide, I think that is, that comes from the cigarette when you first light it up. And also what comes from it is a heavy lead content that when it gathers in the body, then it's difficult for the body to discharge it. And also they have this content, I don't know what you call it in English, benzobirine. What is that, Hisham? Benzobirine. That the doctors have no disagreement that it has a harmful effect and it causes cancer. And nicotine is also poisonous and harmful. And that 50 grams of nicotine will kill a human being if it's injected directly to his arteries. And this other type of chemical or whatever, البولونيوم المشع. He said that which goes around the lungs of the one who smokes and he doesn't come off of his lungs. And also there's tar in the tobacco, and this is the sticky yellowish substance that will leave your teeth yellow and decay them and inflame your lungs. And this is the stuff that the people who smoke will see if they use a cigarette filter in a clearer way. And this is amongst the most harmful substances in the tobacco. And then he has this stuff, zarnikh, he says, or some type of extermination that they use to keep the insects off of the tobacco. And that this stays with it until it enters in the person's lungs. And then there's a type of alcohol that they use that has a nice smell to it or something. And this is used in the factories so that they could keep the tobacco from being moist and not drying out. And this is from amongst the very harmful substances that are with the tobacco. From the harms of the tobacco, one of the scholars of Afghanistan, Muhammad Abdul Ghaffar, he wrote in his book Masaib al-Dukhan 99, he said the problems that stem from tobacco are 99. And that smoking is a result, or the use of tobacco is a result of many different sicknesses that the doctors have explained and that those sicknesses reach 99 types of sicknesses for using tobacco. And the Dr. Salahuddin Abdul Rabb al-Nabi, from the doctors of the nervous system in Egypt, they say that if a person makes cigarette smoking his habit, then it will have an evil effect on his health without any doubt, and especially harmful to the heart, and it will mess up the beat of the heart and the flow of the blood of the heart. And some of the people, they have this dizziness that they feel from time to time out of smoking, and that is because of the contraction of the arteries of the brain. And when a person gets a little older because of smoking, then he gets high blood pressure and this other type of disease. I don't even want to say it. Another type of disease. I wrote it down in English, but I still don't know. And when they use this types of machines to help them breathe, oxygen machines or what have you, then the effects of the smoking, they don't make the machine work as good or something like that. And the person who smokes, he loses a good appetite. And then he gets this terrible type of cough that only the people who smoke get. And the smoking has and when they use this type of machine on them or something for the nervous system, then the smoking might leave a tingling feeling or a numbness type of feeling in his body parts or some type of pain in his nerves. And they have yearly conferences, the American doctors that they have in Chicago, or this yearly conference that they had in 1966. And the main topic of this conference, that they debated the issue of the harm of smoking. And then the doctors were frightened and alarmed. Those who knew the effects of cigarette and its cause to lung cancer. So when they heard that, at first they felt that it was other things other than cigarette that had a bigger effect. And then the Dr. Edwards, somebody, he said, who was in charge of this whole conference or the part of cancer, he said that lung cancer, the main reason for it is cigarette smoking. And the cigarette smoking leads to the death because of this more so than anything else. And it came in one of the magazines that it has come, the time has come that makes it compulsory that everyone must know the dangers of cigarette smoking, and that it has, and that its terrible substance will eventually lead to death and many problems and pains on a serious level. And that it is compulsory that the explanation of the harms of smoking is well known to everyone, and that we save our intelligent children from the evils of smoking. The smoking that they are still amazed with, or the smoking that has become widespread or something like that. And he said also that they have made a statement in that conference that many of the deadly diseases stem from, or the causes of them, are smoking. And then they mention some of the causes, some of the diseases, and they say that the main cause for them is smoking. And that in this last century, smoking has become very widespread and harmful amongst the men, and in these latter days, even amongst the women. And the number of cancer of the lungs have become widespread also in these later years because of smoking. And smoking is very harmful to the health in other ways, let alone being harmful to the financial status of the people in specific or in general. The proof of the prohibition of smoking. Smoking was not present during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but our deen has come with general principles that many issues stem from afterwards. So the scholars of Islam, may the mercy of Allah be upon them, have established these general principles that show the prohibition of smoking, and they come under, and this comes under these general principles. These general principles or rules or fundamentals that we're talking about are based on either ayat from the Quran or hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And first we'll take a look at some of these evidences, and we'll take a look at some of these evidences in brief. First is the statement of Allah Ta'ala as He describes His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 157. يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. Well, Allah says, He commands them, referring to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He commands them with what is right, and He forbids them what is wrong, and He makes permissible for them the طَيِّبَاتِ, and He makes haram for them the خَبَائِثِ. He makes permissible for them those things that are good, and He makes haram for them those things that are bad. And this ayat is very explicit and clear in saying that those things that are good are permissible and those things that are bad are harmful. And there's no doubt for anyone who has an intellect that tobacco is from amongst the bad things. And that this and that the bad things in the Arabic language, or the word al-khabath, it is used to show that something is disliked either by its taste or its smell. And this is exactly the description of cigarettes, or smoking, or tobacco. And what will make this thing even more clearer and established is that this stinking smell, or this stinking yellow stuff that settles or is deposited while a person smokes, as we have mentioned earlier. And the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبَذِّيرًا إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, from Surah Al-Isra, verses 26 and 27, where Allah says, and don't waste, and don't be extravagant. Indeed, those who are extravagant or wasteful, they are the brothers of the shayateen. And Allah Subhanahu, He says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. And Allah says, and do not waste, because indeed He, referring to Allah Ta'ala, does not love those who waste. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَكَرِهَ لَكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ وَكَثْرَةَ السُّؤَالِ وَإِضَاعَةَ الْمَالِ, from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and He hates for you, meaning Allah hates for you, hearsay and too many questions and the waste of your wealth. And there's no doubt that spending your money on tobacco is wasting in your wealth, and extravagance and splurging, and this is not permissible from the consensus of Ahlul Ilm, or the people of knowledge. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, من أكل ثوما أو بصلا فليعتزلنا وليعتزل مسجدنا وليقعد في بيته. Well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, whoever eats garlic or onions, then stay away from us and stay away from our masjid and stay in your house. And the smell of these two plants And this is because of the smell of these two plants. So how much more with the smell or the stinking, rotten smell of cigarette smoking or tobacco that is harmful to this person smoking and also harmful to the other people. And the smell is even more harmful than garlics and onions. And they harm, and this harming of the Muslims is not permissible in the deen of Allah or in His Sharia. And we had explained before some of the verdicts pertaining to this eating of the onions and garlic and coming to the masjid. And this is when they're raw, and if they're cooked and the smell is gone, then it's permissible. And that some of the ulama said that the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to stay away from the masjid when something was permissible, and even onions and garlic are very beneficial, then how much so for something that is harmful, and Allah knows best. And the statement of Allah, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى تَهْلُكَ, and don't let your hands be the cause of your own destruction. And smoking or tobacco definitely leads to the sicknesses that will kill you, like cancer and tuberculosis and other diseases. And the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, and don't kill yourselves, from Surah An-Nisa. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَنْ شَرِبَ سُمَّنْ فَقَتَلَ نَفْسَهُ فَهُوَ يَتَحَسَّاهُ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari al-Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever takes poison and kills himself because of it, then he will be taking it in the fire of Jahannam, abiding therein forever and ever and ever. And this tobacco or this cigarette smoking has poisons, many poisons in it. And because of it, the smoker is actually committing a very slow type of suicide as he's taking this cigarette smoking. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ, and there's no harming or no reciprocal harm. And smoking, all of it is nothing but harm and harm, as we have explained before. And after all of this, if a person is arrogant enough not to accept the evidence that we have presented, or the case that we have made clear, then let him fear Allah within himself. And let him know that this smoking at least is from amongst the affairs that are not clear, or the affairs that the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam did not make clear. And that whoever falls into it falls into the haram, as our messenger commands us to stay away from these unclear matters which are haram, as he says sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إن الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ لدينه وعرضه ومن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام كالراعي يرعى حول الحمى يوشك أن يقع فيه ألا وإن لكل ملك حمى ألا وإن حمى الله محارمه ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, indeed the halal is clear and indeed the haram is clear, and between those two are affairs that are not clear, and not many of the people know them. So whoever stays away from these unclear affairs, then his deen and his honor will be saved. And whoever falls into these unclear affairs falls into the haram, like a shepherd going around the sanctuary. He's bound to fall in it. And indeed, every king has a sanctuary. And indeed, the sanctuary of Allah is those affairs that are haram. And indeed, in the body is a morsel of flesh. If it is correct, then the rest of the body is correct. And if it's corrupt, then the rest of the body is corrupt. Isn't it the heart? The Shaykh, before we continue with the statement of the Shaykh, I just want to add that this hadith, it has many virtues in it, and we could just look at it and apply it here, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, if that morsel of flesh is correct, and the rest of the body will be correct. And we saw in some of the explanations of the Shaykh that cigarette smoking, it has its effect on the heart. And then the heart is not correct, and then the rest of the body is not correct, like the tongue and the teeth and the breath. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And if that is corrupt, then the rest of the body is corrupt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Statements of the ulama pertaining to the prohibition. The Shafi'is, from amongst them Ibn Alan, who is the one who made an explanation to Riyad the Salihin in four volumes, and he made the explanation to Al-Adhkar and other explanations. He has two books written on the prohibition of smoking. And the Shaykh Abdul Rahim Al-Ghazi and Ibrahim Ibn Jam'an and his student Abu Bakr Al-Ahdal and Al-Qalyubi and Al-Bujayrami and other than them, and many of them all wrote books on the prohibition of smoking. And from amongst the Maliki scholars, there's the explanation of Abdul Baqi on the book Mukhtasar Khalil, which he says, Kunun al-Muhashi, he says that most of the latter day scholars, they prohibit cigarette smoking. And from amongst them is the scholar, the Abu Zayd, Sayyidi Abdul Rahman al-Fasi, as he says, indeed what is important for us and necessary for us to rely upon and to turn to in getting our deen and our life together from amongst the affairs that are compulsory to be known and widespread, and to be and to have this knowledge disseminated in all of the Muslim lands, is that this cigarette smoking that was mentioned, it is haram to smoke. And this is because many of the people who have experience and knowledge, they know of its evil, and they know that it has a type of a relaxing feeling or easing of the nerves. And this is something similar to that which is in khamr, and Allah knows best. And from amongst them is Ibrahim Al-Laqani and his Shaykh Salama Sanhuri and many, many other Maliki scholars who wrote their position that cigarette smoking is haram. And from the Hanafi scholars are the Shaykh Muhammad Al-Aini, and he has a book on the prohibition of smoking. And he mentioned that cigarette smoking was haram from four different reasons. And also the Shaykh Muhammad Al-Khawaja and Isa Al-Shahawi Al-Hanafi and Makki Ibn Farrukh and the Shaykh Sa'd Al-Balkhi Al-Madini and Umar Ibn Ahmed Al-Misri Al-Hanafi and Abu Sa'ud Mufti Istanbul, and other than them, they all wrote books on the prohibition of cigarette smoking. And from the Hanbali scholars, they all agree that cigarette smoking is haram, except some of them who you don't even consider. And from amongst those who said that cigarette smoking is haram from the Hanbali scholars is Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, and Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'idi, and Abdullah Abu Batin, and other than them. And even one of the scholars of Islam, he took this issue of cigarette smoking so seriously and the people who smoke, Ya Rahmukallah, and the people who smoke, that he made every book that he wrote on the prohibition of cigarette smoking. And he wrote 3 books, and all of them were on the prohibition of smoking, Tabusiratul Ikhwan, and explaining the harmfulness of the tobacco that's known as cigarettes. And the Uqood al-Jawahir al-Hisan, with the explanation of the prohibition of tobacco that was well known as cigarettes. And the Al-Idah wa-Tabiyin, or the clarification of the prohibition of cigarette smoking. And then the Shaykh, he says, do you know? Do you know that this organization had its fifth conference? This health organization had its fifth conference in Tunis in the year 1980, and they established that as their law or rule and principle number 24 about the things that they were warning against. They said cigarette smoking is the main cause of cancer and other lung diseases and diseases of the heart and other diseases. And that one of the organizations of cancer in Jordan, they had a letter or an article written, cigarette smoking is the Azrael of our time. Azrael is one of the names that the ordinary people give to Al-Malakul Mut, or the angel of death, though there's no origin of this in the Sunnah, as Ali Hassan says. So they're saying that cigarette smoking is the angel of death for our time. And in this article, they had wrote that cigarette smoking equals, and then they mentioned high blood pressure and cancer and one disease after another, and equals death. So cigarette smoking plus all of these diseases equals death. And then they had said also that the hand that you use to smoke your cigarettes with isn't your friend, rather this hand is really your enemy, the one who's causing you your death. And from this international health organization, they said that about 346,000 people die a year in America alone from the harms of cigarette smoking. Just as they say 55,000 in England or Britain and 8,000 in Sweden die every year because of the harms of cigarette smoking. And cigarette smoking is the cause of 140,000 deaths in China every year. And that 90% of the 660 people who were affected with lung cancer in one of the hospitals in Shanghai are all from cigarette smoking. And that cigarette smoking is a bigger cause of death than fighting in the war or than car accidents. And this was the end of the book of the Shaykh, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Or as the Shaykh says at the end of his book himself, I ask Allah al-Azim that he gives me the success in making correct statements and having correct deeds, and that he keep me far away from mistakes and bad speech, and that he prepare us and make it easy for us to be guided, and to make us from amongst those who listen to what's being said and follow the best of it. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين and whoever follows them with إحسان إلى يوم الدين written by Ali Hassan Ali Abdul Hamid. Now, I don't know if there were any questions or comments on tonight's talk. Now. With the ruling of not drink, with the ruling of not having your salat accepted for 40 days for drinking khamr be applied to something else or to cigarette smoking. That hadith is for what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Now. Yeah, the Sheikh, he wrote this book 15 years ago. And the brother is just mentioning that even nowadays with the research of the cigarette smoking, they say that the people who get the smoke secondhand are worse off than the people who smoke it themselves. So like the children or the people that's around, the people who smoke, that they get it worse off than the people who smoke themselves. Should we be aggressive even if we have kindness in stopping our brothers and sisters from smoking? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطيع فبلسانه وإن لم يستطيع فبقلبه فذلك أضعف الإيمان. And this is the rule or the principle that we use in enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, no matter what that wrong is. And that's the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Imam Muslim, that whoever sees a wrong, change it with his hands. If he's not able to, change it with his tongue. And if he's not able to change it with his heart. And that's the weakest part of faith. I also wanted to add, as the brother was alluding at it, and that is that also in these latter years, that everyone is beginning to realize the harm, the harmfulness of cigarette smoking, and that it has caused so many problems in the public places that now almost every public place has made cigarette smoking prohibited, whether it's in the lobbies of apartment buildings or on planes, trains, buses, and what have you. And this should be, if this is enough for the kuffar to understand, and they have it, and you just kind of laugh when you see all of the cigarette smoking signs that they have this big warning on it. And before the warning, it seems like when I was coming up, I used to notice on the billboards that the warning used to seem like it was like small, you couldn't even read it. But now the warning has become so big on the sign that there's no escape from reading the Surgeon General's warning that cigarette smoking is harmful to your health. And if the disbelievers are realizing it, the Muslims should be the first people to understand the harmfulness of this cigarette smoking and that we should rid it from our communities. But unfortunately, and I hope that this talk doesn't apply to us or whoever is listening, but unfortunately, many Muslims are still smoking, and so much so that if you try to stop them, they want to fight you. Leave me alone. He might be in the state of ihram making hajj. And he'll tell you, get your hands off of me, I'm going to get this cigarette off. And people are even smoking in the month of Ramadan in the daytime. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. And people even want to smoke around the masjid or the Muslim school. And then when you want to stop them, they say you in America or whatever, you're free to do whatever you want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let this be a good nasiha for whoever is still smoking, to let this smoking stop. And let it also be, inshallah ta'ala, evidence for us to admonish the people with in order to prevent them from smoking and having these harms amongst the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if there was anything else. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله.